Let me share a story that admits a blind spot I've had. But for some background first, let me share with you a story of someone else's blind spot. Back in the before times, when I was less old, the zeitgeist at the time was, man, all this plastic pollution? A big offender is plastic straws. Like most forever chemicals, they don't decompose, they just litter the oceans. Given their shape and density, they get blown around by air a lot, so they tend to accidentally escape containment efforts. It's not an ideal situation. I guess there was a viral video showing how it's horrific for sea turtles. This is the background information for local businesses informing us of how admirable they are because they switched from plastic straws to paper. Following that, memes about paper straws dissolving before people can finish their drinks, apparently some people order a beverage and stare at it for multiple hours. I had a friend at the time who informed me how much smarter he was than these people by realizing you can just bypass the straw. Sure. But the point of a straw is to work around ice cubes. Him and his girlfriend were amused that I wanted to buy metal drinking straws. In response to their derision, I said, yeah, save the sea turtles. My then friend was incredulous that I would spend money for a cause like this. I specified, it's not that I feel bad. It's that I recognize the moral obligation. He attempted to correct me vis-a-vis my thought process. He said that moral obligation comes from a feeling of guilt. At the time I was mildly horrified that he couldn't fathom the difference. Since then, the true horror is that I'm pretty sure most people can't disentangle these concepts in their minds. So once you become desensitized to the feeling of guilt, there's nothing left to guide you. Every pretentious video essayist will eventually talk about Spec Ops: The Line and / or Disco Elysium at some point. Now let me share with you a story of my own blind spot. When I first saw the list of skills, I was immediately drawn to one. I figured clearly it's the best. If the game is good, surely with this one skill will be the one that matters the most, and with enough of it, you can compensate for the rest, or render them entirely obsolete. Other than the physical ones, of course. Fortunately, I've been able to ask others. A therapist once told me she thought that of empathy. I figured it was possible she was performing what is expected of her rather than being genuine. Then an artist told me she was immediately attracted to Inland Empire. 3 data points isn't definitive, but we can work with it. I hold the thesis, a person correlates with a signature skill in Disco Elysium. Much like that one expired card game has player archetypes of Spike, Johnny, Timmy, and Vorthos, there are appreciable differences that a real person tends to gravitate toward, reflecting their own personality and perspective on life. If life is a game where you're the player character, the player seems to have chosen a signature skill. Mine is logic, of course. Surely you saw this coming, it couldn't possibly be anything else. But then, maybe you didn't. It's obvious to me what was happening in my skull, but I reside there, so of course it would be, my thoughts are how I model thoughts in general. These are my two favorite books. Douglas Hofstadter presents a theory, that thoughts in general are a process of forming and refining categories. A child has a concept of self, then distinguishes a separate concept for others, then eventually might recognize my mommy vs other mommies, then define an adult woman independently of any offspring, he puts it way better, obviously. But the point is, you form a category around its exemplar, then distill its traits and refine the category to something more useful that better reflects the world in front of you. This is why I would love to push the term Wolfendoom for that genre. Anyway. Disco Elysium. If you're not familiar, well, turn this video off. Get off YouTube, go play it. But if you refuse and just want a quick rundown of some of the relevant information, this is truly a game where you build a character, in a realistic way. You wake up with amnesia, it takes a long time to learn your name, Harry, and your skills are talking to you as though they are someone else's voice in your head. They even talk to each other sometimes. They all have a personality, and dictate yours. Or rather, the real you chooses to nurture the ones it's attracted to initially. Let's look at Half-Light. The game describes what it is, your fight or flight response. It describes the sort of person who really like it, high-strung people, shoot now ask questions later, etc. Now what's fascinating about Disco Elysium is that it has a cynical view of the concept of a skill. In almost every other game that has a way to increase skills, if you can raise a skill from N to N plus 1, that is better. In Disco Elysium, there's such a thing as being too good at a skill. So continuing to look at Half-Light, if you don't have enough of it, you don't really have a survival instinct. But if you have too much of it, you're living your entire life right at the boiling point, which is not ideal, either. Disco Elysium also has lots of items that give small boosts to these skills, with a description about the item, usually also justifying why it affects your skills. Here's some itchy pants. Suffering the itchiness all the time puts you on edge, which is a detriment to your composure, but a benefit to your Half-Light. Let's take a moment to appreciate that all the skills have, and I cannot understate this, works of art, to correspond to them. Now, let's go meet Kuno. This is Kuno, an edgy child self-medicating for the trauma of his father's abuse with some kind of stimulant. Kuno is the apex of Half-Light. It's no wonder that Harry thinks of Half-Light in terms of being exemplified by Kuno. And that's why the portrait for Half-Light looks so much like the portrait for Kuno. Or maybe I should say that the other way around. But that's entry-level analysis. I'm sure every Disco fan has noticed this, and told you about it. Enter YouTuber Sky Mistless. She matches up all of the skills to their in-game exemplar. How cool is that? Sick. So who is the exemplar for Logic? The Mega Racist. Fuck. So the point I'm getting to. The logical thing to do is fit more information into your theory of the world. Even if it comes from unexpected place. Maybe with a sufficiently galaxy-brained intellect, sufficient logic could solve everything, including morality. But realistically, you'll need some facts and, as well. In the game, Measurehead's narrative function is to be a surpassable obstacle. You can use Measurehead's own logic against him, apparently he has some phrenological flaw that's a raw nerve for him. He may be some kind of 7-foot-high tower of muscle, but you can still have your fat middle-aged alcoholic character do a sweet video game spin kick. Or for all his threats of warfare and the way the political winds will blow his way, you can go over his head and have him ordered to do an errand for you. All the skill exemplars represent being in too deep. Kuno's Half-Light is easily outmaneuvered by the adult in the room. Gart gets no part in any of the interesting stuff, and I'm pretty sure there's no way for you to pay your debt to him. There's another sign. One of the items to boost your logic is a conical hat. Plus one logic, why do you think these, and indeed, most hats, were invented? Keeps the sun out of your eyes. Plus this one is made from straws, sounds way better the environment than polyester or whatever. But there's more data left. Some missing pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, the setting of the game is not Earth, but the same insensitive elements are at play there. Harry is a white guy. This is decidedly not a hat for a white guy. Maybe Encyclopedia could have told us about specific events. Maybe empathy would have let us intuit this.